broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow American Sam Bushman, Kirk Cosby, live on your radio. This is a live broadcast for New Year's Day. Hope you're all doing marvelous. This is Liberty Roundtable Live for January 1st in the year of our Lord, 2015, hour 2 at 2. Always the goal, protect life, liberty, and property, and promote God, family, and country using the supreme law of the land, following the Prince of Peace. It doesn't get better than that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got a hard-hitting topic that I got to just delve into. I don't like discussing this topic because it makes so many enemies and so many, I don't know, weird relationships that it's just hard to even discuss, but we're left with no choice because Barack and the race baiters, Eric Holder and everybody else, they're going to force us to discuss this. Now, Meghan Trainor, a very well-known modern pop artist, sings a song all about this bass, right? All about the bass. All about the bass. But now, no, ladies and gentlemen, now it's all about the race. All about the race. And if I was a good enough musician, I would jump on the bandwagon for 2015 and mock Meghan's song a little bit. And I'd write lyrics and put together a guitar piece and put it together. And it'd be all about this race. Because that's what really is going to be the dialogue for 2015. As much as I don't like it, because I think it's a waste of time, that's what's going to happen. And let me explain the narrative they're going to nail to you. And then let me explain how they're going to go after you and I. The narrative is this. If you're black, if you're Latino, you're allowed to be an absolute in-your-face belligerent racist, and no one's going to call you on it at all. You're allowed to also use race to bait people, to manipulate people, to sideline people in political discussions all day long if you choose, because that's the accepted way in America today. And the more of a racist you are, if you're a Democrat, if you're a black, if you're a Latino, then you're allowed to just double, triple, quadruple down on that. And it's almost like the more racist and abusive and hostile and hate-filled you really are, the greater chance you can gain ground and be a political figure of, quote, national renown, kind of an idea, right? If you are a white person, though, you better sit down and shut up, because you can't even move without being an absolute, absolute, hardcore, hate-filled, abusive racist. Never mind the truth. Now, James Edwards, a good friend of ours who does the politicalcesspool.org radio program, wrote a book about this phenomenon, this double standard happening in the media. And he wrote it. It's called Racism Smashism. And he documents how, you know what? If a white guy says the same thing as a black guy, the white guy's an absolute belligerent racist that really ought to be killed for his views. But a black guy should be praised and promoted. And if you don't believe me, just look at Django Unchained. Wasn't that this black guy just went on a rampage to kill all kinds of white people because he was justified? Because by golly, back in the days, his family was related to slavery, and Django Unchained, he had the right just to do that, and it was glorified. It was promoted. Now you've got Barack Obama and Eric Holder literally tied to the Justice Department, who is literally tied to funding of these people in the Bronx that created a hate-filled, racial, black rap video where they literally hold guns in the video to white cops' heads, virtually an assassination video, funded by your Justice Department. If you don't believe me on that, go look in the New American. Go look in the New York Post. There's a variety of organizations that have documented this funding by your Justice Department to these hate-filled, evil, black, racist videos. Okay, Barack Obama has sat in the White House on more occasions than I can count on both hands and both toes with the very belligerent, out-of-control racist Al Sharpton. Now that I've set the stage for the discussion, I'm going to play a soundbite here. And the soundbite is from the mainstream press just this morning, Salem Radio News. And here's what it is. Listen.
Louisiana Congressman Steve Scalise says he regrets an appearance before a white supremacist group a dozen years ago.
The third-ranking Republican in the House says his speech before the European American Unity Rights Organization was a mistake that he regrets. Scalise was a state representative at the time. He says it was one of many groups he addressed to drum up support for a tax proposal. He condemned the group's views, and he added, "I emphatically oppose the divisive racial and religious views groups like these hold."
Now, that report from SRN's Wally Hines, House Speaker John Boehner says Scalise was right to acknowledge it as a mistake and that the majority whip still has his full confidence.
That's interesting because this happened, ladies and gentlemen. How long ago? It's like 12 years ago or more the speech was given. And he spoke to this group about taxes, not about white supremacist views or anything else. Well, it turns out that David Duke is one of the leaders of that group. Now, David Duke, just so you know, was a Louisiana legislator back in the day. He ran for governor and almost won. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying David Duke is the guy that we all ought to just double down and support necessarily. But why can Al Sharpton be in the White House? He's a race baiter for the blacks. And then David Duke, equivalent, if you will, on the white side, a race baiter to some degree, many would say. But you can't even speak to a group about taxes that relates to him. But yet Barack can have Al Sharpton in the White House and it's just fine. Okay, this double standard has got to stop. Well, this gets worse. This discussion will not be avoided in 2015, folks. The latest headline on Yahoo News right now says the following. 5 ways to know you're speaking to a white supremacist. Okay, and other useful tips for Steve Scalise and other budding politicians everywhere. Okay. By Matt Bayer, B-A-I is his last name, Yahoo News. 5 ways you know you're talking to a white racist. Okay, they say there was a simpler time in America back when, hey man, the KKK wore capes. And they wore these hoods and carried torches. There was a time when Nazis wore swastikas. Now, ladies and gentlemen, they're underground and you just can't know. But they hold secret conferences. And by golly, how are you going to know when you're dealing with a white supremacist group, see? Now, back in 2002, Scalise spoke to this group, and they're attacking him for it. But Mia Love, a very well-known black person who just got elected to Congress, she says, I'm not going to attack him for this. First off, it was 12-plus years ago. But they say there are no hard and fast rules, but let's consider a couple of guidelines to help you know when you're dealing with us. An extremist, a white supremacist. Somebody's crazy. You got to know when you're about to have a problem, just in case you're thinking of a career in national politics, folks. Number one, if the group was founded by David Duke, you know you got a problem. Now, they say, to be fair, Duke is a relatively common name in public life. Why would you show up in a convention where we all know Bo and Luke Duke? Well, this is different, right? Now, David Duke ran in 1988 as a Democrat for president. All right. Now they say this Duke was the most articulate, credible white supremacist in the nation for a long time. It's an embarrassing reminder of the South. He was an unapologetic white supremacist. Okay. They say he even served a term in the legislature. Well, that's my point. How do you not even talk to a guy who used to be a former legislator for the state of Louisiana? Okay. He ran for president. And he almost won, folks. So they say if Duke is putting on your conference, speaking at it, or anywhere even near it, like even in the same zip code, and he hasn't yet been rearrested, man, you better exercise caution. You better run. Now, here's the problem that I have with this. Glenn Beck has a guy on the radio oftentimes. He used to be a, communist red diaper doper baby guy. What's that guy's name? David, Kurt can help me think of this guy's name. What's his name? David Horowitz is his name.
Yeah.
Now, that guy used to be as communist as all get out. But he's okay to go on Glenn Beck's show, and no one's going to even bat an eye. Now, I'm not defending David Duke's communism, and I'm not defending David Duke's white supremacy views and or David Horowitz's communist leanings. My point being, at some point, can somebody ever redeem themselves or change their views? And is there such thing as repentance or change? Now, David Duke claims that he's not near the white supremacists as he used to be. He claims that he's sorry about it, that he was wrong, and he has a lot different rhetoric than he used to have. Now, I'm not defending David Duke's position, but what I'm saying is There's a double standard in America that's a serious problem indeed. Okay? It's a serious problem. And we're not going to avoid this discussion no matter how much we want to. Sheriff Richard Max with me. Kurt's with me. Welcome, Kurt.
Well, buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
Welcome, Sheriff Richard Mack.
Well, thanks a lot, Sam. And Happy New Year.
You're very welcome, sir. Now, here's the deal. Barack Obama just celebrated Kwanzaa. And Kwanzaa starts right after the 25th Christmas. It goes from the 26th through the 1st. And it's a well-known celebration of African historical heritage, if you will. It's called Kwanzaa. And Barack made reference to it, celebrated it in the White House and everything else, which, by the way, I'm fine with. Just so you know, happy Kwanzaa, guys.
Is it black supremacy?
Well, it depends on how you define supremacy.
Oh, okay.
But here's the deal. What if you were to celebrate White History Month?
Yeah, I know.
Would you do that?
Privately, maybe.
Well, you ought to be able to do it privately and publicly.
No, I wouldn't do it publicly.
Why not?
Because, boy, you'd get blasted.
You'd get blasted, but what about the truth? What about fair's fair? Why can't we, again, they claim we're supposed to be a diverse society, right? Celebrate our differences. Celebrate our diversity, right?
Right.
So why can't we celebrate Black History Month and White History Month and Latino History Month? And we even ought to celebrate History Month for blind people. You could have a thing on Helen Keller and all these blind people that have done great things, and everybody could walk around with blindfolds on and just celebrate, baby.
Well, why not? Now you're talking.
I'm just saying, if we're going to celebrate our diversity, how can we back Kwanzaa from the White House, invite Al Sharpton to the White House on more occasions than you and I can account, have Glenn Beck invite this David Horowitz, who used to be a red doper diaper baby communist, and act like they're all changed, they're all okay, that's fine, but hey man, you don't even need to be in the same zip code as a David Duke. Now, I'm not defending David Duke. I'm making a point, though. In America, we've got this idea that five ways you can even know that you're speaking to a white supremacist. And they have this big article on it. Okay? And they talk about stay away from David Duke. The next one, they started talking about the Reagan era. Okay? What if you had banners that said white power? Can you have a white power banner?
No. No.
Why not?
You can't. You'll be blasted.
Well, you're allowed to say black power, aren't you?
A lot of people have, yeah. Of course, that was big time during the, especially the 70s and 80s. Yeah.
Now, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, they start quoting in this article. Look, man, when you go back to white power, you start talking about the whimsical days in the 30s when Germany was dominated by, you know, these Aryan Nation white supremacist people. Okay, they say the name of the group is the European Rights Association. Now, here's the question. Can you celebrate European heritage? What if you have Scottish heritage? Can you celebrate Scottish days?
Yeah, I would imagine.
Well, you'd be a right-wing European white supremacist if you did. See? I mean, you might even have a paramilitary arm if you did that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, they say, by golly, one of the ways you know you're talking about a white supremacist is if the hotel you're going to is a shame. You know? I mean, if you go to a hotel that's not well known, it's just kind of like a shame hotel, it's probably a telltale sign that it's a white supremacist group that's going to be there.
What is that, like a Motel 6 or?
No. What half is the hotels we've been at are shames, Kurt.
Okay,
well, they're ways to save money, and they're not very well-known hotels. In fact, I just went to one
that
with the sheriff that I didn't even know the name
shame
of.
Shame hotel.
Yeah, absolutely. Hmm. Now, they're calling them racist hotels now. And then they say, number five, no one actually cares about your tax debt. Now, you can say, Sam, why are you bringing up this article? Well, because there's a big debate in the news about cops. And the idea and the narrative with protests all around the country is that white cops are just evil. And they're shooting and abusing everybody. And it couldn't be further from the truth. And while Eric Holder, Barack Obama, Al Sharpton, and the real racists babble at the brook to garner support for their deceptive, manipulative views, Well, you're a racist, Sheriff, because your CSPOA Sheriff of the Year, David A. Clark Jr. from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, is a black guy, and he calls them out on CNN's. What's her name? Poppy Harlow, I think it is. Anyway, he went on CNN's Poppy Harlow. This is a little bit about what was said here.
Talk more about this, the shooting of David Clark. Thank you for being with me, sir, and thank you for your more than 3 decades of service.
Here's David Clark with Poppy.
It's my pleasure. It's been a pleasure to serve.
Let me ask you this. 7 people in New York City, right here, arrested in connection with 40 different threats online against New York City police officers. This following the assassination of those 2 officers last week. Have you seen any similar threats in your community?
Well, police officers on a daily basis live in a state of hypervigilance about their exterior surroundings. But what's going on in New York right now and many other cities across America, here in Milwaukee as well, is this unjustified, if you will, hatred toward the police. And that pathway was created recently by some very powerful people in the United States who've made some very inflammatory comments about our American police officers, that being Mayor de Blasio, that being President Obama, and that being Eric Holder. So I'm not going to engage in hyperbole and say that they caused what's going on, but like I said, they created that pathway for purely political purposes, and I think that's what the shame is here.
Well, let me ask you this, because I watched live on CNN as this news unfolded over the weekend about the 2 officers being killed. I watched Mayor de Blasio speak at the press conference, and I've seen him in the days after going to the memorial site, et cetera. And my question to you is, I've also watched the video of the police officers, some of them turning their back on the mayor, right, believing that he has not been supportive of them. What would you like to see happen? What would you like to see from Mayor de Blasio, from the president, from Attorney General Eric Holder?
David Clark provides the solution, ladies and gentlemen, but she doesn't really want to hear it. Listen carefully.
Well, both of these individuals have had several chances to come out of the gate and say something responsible and say something to calm things down. What I'd like to hear from Mayor de Blasio right now, because I think there's a way forward for him, but the first thing he's going to have to do is disavow any further association with race hustler Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton is a vulgar human being. He's divisive and he spews hate. I think that would be a huge first step, and it would be a good faith gesture toward the New York Police Department, where the mayor could exemplify that he's going to change his tune and he's going to start supporting that police department. And if it weren't for the NYPD officers, that city would collapse into utter chaos.
Now, David A. Clark Jr., a black man, sheriff of the year for the CSPOA, rightly calls Al Sharpton a vile man, a race hustler, a racist. He's right, folks.
He knows that, but again...
Now, Barack has had Al Sharpton in the White House plenty of times, though.
Politics trumped reasonableness from the mayor, and now he's paying for that. The chickens are coming home to roost.
Sheriff, let me ask you about this case in Milwaukee and the protests with the shooting of Dontre Hamilton back in April. The DA just decided, so it's taken months, just decided not to press any charges here. This was a mentally ill man that the officer says grabbed the officer's baton, struck him with it, then the officer shot and killed the man. You call these protesters anarchist groups exploiting tragic situations to create chaos. Are you saying there is no merit in these protests?
None whatsoever. Unequivocally, none whatsoever. Let me give you a brief statistic in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Now, I agree with David A. Clark Jr. there. These protests, this violence, this race baiting has no place to the problems we face. Now, later he talks about the value of discussing police behavior. That's a different discussion. Listen carefully to how wise Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. is.
In 2012 and 2013, 80% of the murder victims in our city are black. 75% of the suspects in those murders were black. It's the black-on-black homicide we ought to be outraged about. We ought to be protesting.
Can't we have...
Instead of the slight... Well,
see, she's not even willing to discuss this. He's saying it's the black-on-black crime. 80% of the victims, 75% of the expected or prospective perpetrators are black. David A. Clark Jr., a black man willing to point out that reality. We've got to stop black-on-black crime. We've got to highlight and discuss this. He's right. She can't take it. She wants to change the discussion to carry out the mainstream media narrative that white people are evil and black people are victims, and that's the only way to have it. Listen.
Wait a minute, though. These things that happen with law enforcement officers, tragic, no doubt about that. But they are a sliver of what's going on in America's ghettos today, and it's the black-on-black crime. So if we want to have the discussion, let's have an objective one.
Okay, but can't we have both of these discussions side by side? Because looking at this data from a brand new CNN ORC poll, what it showed is that 42% of the non-white community believe that most or some police officers are prejudiced against blacks. Given what the numbers bear out, do you not think that there is a basis to have a conversation about this alongside of a conversation about black-on-black crime? Why can't we have them both? Why are they not both important?
Well, I'm not saying we can't have both, but many of the individuals who are in this thing for nefarious purposes, they don't want to have the other one that I'm talking about. So, you know, the 42%, I'd say, show me the data that supports your position. And let's have a objective, reasonable conversation, strip away the emotion, strip away the distortions, strip away the lies and the myths about our American police officer, and then we can have that discussion. But until somebody shows me, I'll give you another piece of data here.
Okay, he's very methodical, very appropriate. Show me the data. She can't show any, so she shuts her mouth. Listen carefully now.
Since 1999, police use of deadly force against black males is down 75%. In 2011 and 2012, 386 white people were killed by police officers. 140 black people were killed by police officers in that same time period. So I'm just saying, let's put the data out there and let's have an objective discussion minus the emotion and the rhetoric.
Sheriff, let me ask you about this.
Okay, she doesn't respond to anything, but he basically points out black death by police officers is down 75%. Now that's something Eric Holder, Barack Obama, and others, Al Sharpton, if they really want to create peace in America, they'd be focusing on that. Say, listen, we got a problem, no doubt, but we're addressing it, and we're working on it, and we need to improve on it. That's it goes without saying, but we're gaining ground. They don't do that. They're baiting folks with this. Now listen carefully. It gets better.
On December 23rd, just a few days ago, Mitch Smith, a reporter for the New York Times, tweeted that he followed you, and then within hours you blocked him and sent him this message. I'm going to read the tweet that he says was a direct message from you to him. Quote, if only these faux protesters were asked by media about all the black-on-black killing or black babies aborted in the U.S. every year. A, is his reporting correct? Did you send him that message? And B, if so, what did you mean by it?
Yes, I did. And that's, you know, when I hear these things that black lives matter, the only people that really believe that statement are American police officers who go into American ghettos every day to keep people from killing each other. All right, so, yes, I did send that, and I meant it. The abortion, black lives, if they really mattered, that's where the outrage would be. That's what we see protests about. But when we see the black-on-black homicide that happens on a very frequent basis, we don't see protests, we don't see marches, we don't see demands for change. So this has been a one-way conversation that I...
He's right, it's a one-way conversation. Back to it in seconds. Sheriff Richard Mack with me. We'll get his comments about it all in seconds. But I'm telling you, I made that claim. Don't all lives matter? And don't abortions matter? That's what we need to be talking about.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1,200-millimeter coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
The day after Christmas, CNN's Poppy Harlow had Sheriff David A. Clark Jr., Milwaukee, Wisconsin, on CNN with her. We're in the middle of listening to this discussion. David A. Clark Jr. takes off the gloves and really focuses on Barack Obama, Eric Holder, and Al Sharpton are intentionally using race and race baiting to attack police officers and to create a narrative for political purposes in America that's dangerous. Now, David A. Clark Jr. Basically just mentioned that, hey, the amount of blacks killed by cops is very tiny. The amount of abortions and black-on-black crime against blacks is huge. The fact that children don't grow up with fathers is a serious problem. He brings all this up in this interview. Listen.
I'm just trying to present a counter-narrative to balance this thing and so that we can have that discussion. But what I'm sensing from the media, I mean, when you started out this thing, you talk about a mentally disturbed man in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Yes, he's mentally disturbed, but the fact is he was attacking a police officer with a nightstick made out of hickory that's designed, the police officer's nightstick, that's designed to break bones. And if used in the wrong area like a head, and we train our officers, don't use this thing toward the head because you could kill somebody or cause great bodily harm. So this individual took that nightstick and was wielding it in an offensive manner against a police officer, and we want to brush that aside and talk about the fact that he was died and 14 shots were fired, and that stuff's all true. But that officer was under attack, and he responded appropriately. Yeah. Under the rule of law.
And what I said at the outset was that he struck the officer with the baton. Let me ask you this, because we're going to have the...
Yeah, but here's the problem, ma'am. You did say that, but you played that part down, and then you're promoting this race baiting and this hatred against cops, which is nothing but disaster. And you're aiding and abetting these racists, Barack Obama, Al Sharpton, and crew, in this agenda. You are. And now you got a black man standing up for the truth, and you're rejecting his narrative and the points that he's making. Look, this was hostility against the cops. You don't try and take a cop's gun. You don't try to beat up a cop with a nightstick. If you do, you're probably going to get beat up or die. Don't do that, okay?
Memorial today for Officer Ramos, and then a funeral tomorrow in New York City. Vice President Joe Biden will be attending that funeral. You have accused the White House, as you were telling me earlier, about fanning the flames of political discourse. Are you encouraged to see that the vice president is going to go to this funeral? Are you encouraged at what you're seeing in reaction from the White House to these two slain officers?
Not at all. I think they're offering up the JV team, as the president phrase that he's used recently, to some world events. I'd like to see the president of the United States show up in New York at this funeral.
So that again would be a good come back from Hawaii for this
step, and that would be a yes, I do.
Continue what you were saying. That would be a good faith step, and
that would be a good faith step toward calming the waters, if you will. Here, you know, sending a surrogate. I don't know. I got a lot of respect for Joe Biden. Joe Biden has been a supporter of law enforcement for many decades. But again, you know, with what's going on, I think leadership is needed here from the top, and the top would be the President of the United States. That would be powerful if he showed up at these funerals today,
Sheriff, or
this week.
Sheriff Clark, again, thank you for your service and your time this morning. We appreciate it.
All right, Sheriff Matt, could you get away with saying what he says?
I've said a lot of what he said. I think so.
Yeah, but you're a racist for doing it.
Yeah, I would. Well, he's been
not that you really are, not that he is. That's the point, though, is that, hey, on one hand, he can get away with saying a lot of it, which you can't. But yet now they're basically saying both of you guys are racist. Al Sharpton's not. Barack's not. But you are. And so is David A. Clark, Jr. And so am I.
Sheriff Clark and I have had that conversation before where he has actually been accused of associating with racist groups and people. And he and I had a nice little chortle about that. And it's amazing that the point you made on this whole thing, and I think it's really a powerful, powerful point. And I've never heard anyone say it as clearly and as objectively as Sheriff Clark just did, that if black lives matter, then why do we kill millions of babies, black babies, every year, and people support it? Not only do they not condemn it, they support it. And the hypocrisy that he pointed out, that we're not having this conversation, that's the thing. That lady needed to be put on notice. Hey, you want to have them at the same time? You're never bringing it up, and either is anybody else in the media, that black-on-black crime is hundreds of times worse than the white-on-black crime. And yet nobody wants to talk about that. In fact, they do just the opposite. They support people going out there and burning black businesses, owners, the people that own those businesses and those cars, and the destruction to homes and businesses were blacks doing that to blacks. And no one said anything about that.
Well, and I got a question, though.
Do that.
Is saying Black Lives Matter a racist statement?
No, I don't
okay.
think so.
Is saying White Lives Matter, is that a racist statement?
No, of course not.
Okay, what if we say All Lives Matter?
Now that's racist.
No. What? No. You know, see, that's the point that I'm getting at, though. If you were to walk around in the media and say White Lives Matter, buddy, you'd be dubbed a racist in a heartbeat.
Of course. You would be.
And I would be, too. But I say All Lives Matter. I'm not interested in promoting anybody's life above another. Lives matter.
Well, I was actually involved in that, and I've been assailed and labeled a racist by Southern Poverty Law Center and maybe a few others because I said Randy Weaver's wife and son's lives mattered. And the only reason that I ever got involved with Randy Weaver is the same reason that his lawyer, Jerry Spence, got involved with him. Because the evidence that I saw is that an innocent young boy, 14 years old, looked about age 10 or 11, was shot in the back and riddled with machine gun by the federal government. And the next day, his mother had her head blown off in front of her two little girls while she was holding a baby.
Hold on, and she was unarmed as well.
She was unarmed. She was holding a baby, not a gun, not a grenade launcher. She was in her home holding a baby. And I was outraged by the federal government's actions in committing those murders. And if you looked into it, the more I looked into it, because I did investigate it, and I took Randy Weaver's side, and I never at any time did I support Randy Weaver in any of his
white supremacy views. Although, I will tell you that Randy Weaver has never aired or expressed in front of me or to me or anyone else that I've ever seen that he believes in white supremacy. The only thing I've ever seen on Randy Weaver is that he does not believe in miscegenation, the mixing of marriages, the racial mixing of marriages. Okay.
Yeah, and agree or disagree with that. There's a lot of biblical points for that too.
Of course, of course. And I don't care that I don't care. He does not condemn or ridicule any races that I've ever seen in my life. I know that he has black friends, and I know that he has Jewish friends, and so the way that the media has gone after him has been likewise extremely hypocritical. And
but let's say he does believe in white supremacy.
He still has a right to believe that.
I disagree with that view, but he still has a right, and we shouldn't shun him.
Right. Well, but the thing of it is, again, the federal government got a free ride by the media for shooting his son and wife. And they also shot Randy. Randy got shot in the back, but it didn't kill him. He got shot in the back also, in the right shoulder. And there was absolutely no provocation for that. And the media hype and lies actually supported those killings and those shootings. And I will right now ask the Southern Poverty Law Center, do you believe that because of somebody's beliefs that it's okay to shoot and kill them? And the way
and or abuse them in the media, though. I mean, this whole article from Yahoo.com, yeah, with this attitude that, you know what, you can't even be in the same zip code as a David Duke. Listen, right. I don't agree with David Duke at all, okay? But I would go speak at an event. If it was about lowering taxes, why would I not want everybody aboard to lower taxes? Even Al Sharpton, I'll go talk to Al Sharpton about lowering taxes.
Yeah, I would too.
I'll go talk to Barack, who's a racist, or Eric Holder, who's a racist. I'll talk to those guys about lowering taxes or whatever also.
But
I'll talk to them about decreasing police brutality and about decreasing protests against the cops.
I'm going to tell you, I'm probably showing how I've been swayed by the media. I would talk to all of those groups except David Duke's group. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and you have that right. I would talk to David Duke's group too, though.
And actually, one time when I was sheriff, David Duke's people called me and asked me to be on his radio show, and not at any time did they tell me it was with David Duke until I got on the actual show. So even he does a little baiting. And,
right? And that baiting is wrong.
Yeah, it is.
But this
I didn't. They told me the name of the show, which was an innocuous name. I don't remember what it was. It was just, you know, this is Freedom Radio or something like that. That's all it showed. That's all they told me. And I said, oh, okay, yeah. And then when I got on, I said, hey, this is David Duke. And I go, oh, wow, okay. And I did not end the show once I found that out, but I did make it known that I didn't know. And he goes, well, you know, I was afraid that you wouldn't come on if you knew who I was. And I said, yeah, I probably wouldn't have.
Well, but again, that goes to this idea of what the media has pumped up against David Duke with the Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, I'm not agreeing with David on everything.
Wait. It goes to one other thing, Sam. It goes to the double standard, and I have been affected by it.
That's right. That's my point.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I agree with David Duke, but I'm saying the idea that you won't even go on a show and advocate for the proper role of police officers and constitutional cop because somehow he's some extremist, crazy, whatever. Well, man, I would even go on Al Sharpton's show. Yeah. Would you have a discussion with Louis Farrakhan about the proper role of police?
Yeah, absolutely.
But not David Duke?
Yeah, I would be.
Because David Duke's worse than a Louis Farrakhan, right?
Yeah, I would be hesitant to do that with David Duke.
What about Louis Farrakhan?
I would do it right now.
Okay, but, I mean, David Duke's not worse than a Farrakhan. Farrakhan's openly advocated for violence.
Yeah, and I would tell him that he was wrong. And
you should.
Do that.
And you should, but my point being is interesting how we've fallen for this lie. I'll go talk about the proper principles of the proper role of limited government, about God, family, and country, about life, liberty, and property, about lower taxes, about the free markets, about the proper role of marriage, about the importance of dad in the home, whatever God, family, and country issues I want to discuss. I'll discuss those with anybody. How about would you talk to Fidel Castro?
Yes.
Okay, well, what about the leaders of North Korea, China?
Yes, I would.
All right, but David Duke's worse than all those guys. See, I'm just pointing out this say again, Kern.
The thing you've got going for you versus Sheriff Mack is you're a blind guy, though, Sam.
Yeah, but what I'm saying to you is that we all should have the guts, like a David Clark, to stand up for what's right anytime, anywhere, period, bar none.
There is something I disagree with Sheriff Clark on. And this might surprise you.
Go ahead.
He was on Rush Limbaugh's show this week.
Yep.
And he said he really downplays the corruption in law enforcement. And I think it's more than what he says. I think I agree with him that most police officers are good people. I totally agree with that. I worked within those ranks for years and years and years. And I agree, most police officers in this country are good people. They're not corrupt, and they're just trying to do their job. However, there is a huge mistake as to what that, quote, job is, what their obligations are to the public, and how do we truly protect and serve. He actually said 99.9%. Well, I think that's, first of all, ridiculous, that 99.9% of the cops in this country are dedicated, well-meaning, and are good, honest people. I don't think it's nearly that high. I would say about 80%. That is true. I would say 80. So he and I are about 20% off there. But I also feel this way, and I've said this on your show numerous times. If officers were totally dedicated and integrous, their oath of office would come first. There would be a dedication to the Constitution. And if we were totally honest in doing what we were supposed to do as peace officers, then how could we continue this wholesale distribution of traffic tickets and this legalized plunder that most officers believe is appropriate and lawful? We would stop administrative checkpoints, and those were huge last night. They were huge all across America, stopping everybody without probable cause and going after people in such a manner without any regard for law. Now we have the Supreme Court coming out this week and saying the same thing, that if officers are ignorant and stupid people, that it's okay if they violate the Fourth Amendment or any other rights for that matter. They're just saying, well, you know, in an 8-1 decision, the United States Supreme Court says you can go ahead and do that. Scalia being the only dissenter, which I didn't think it would be Scalia. I thought it would be Thomas. But I can't believe that some of the smartest people in the country about law and about the rule of law and about the Constitution would say, if you're ignorant and you're going after people's rights, it's okay as long as you do it ignorantly. And that's just ignorance of the law. Ignorance of the law is no excuse, but it is for police.
And that's flat out unacceptable.
And you see, Sheriff Clark and other law enforcement professionals in this country should be assailing that and saying to the Supreme Court, we don't care if you say that. We're going to run our offices according to the Constitution. We're not going to go along with you. And that's exactly the problem with law enforcement in this country. Whatever the Supreme Court says they can do, they do it. Asset forfeiture.
I would concur 1,000%. And I don't
Another
know.
The problem, though, is asset forfeiture. Sheriff Clark has to know, and every other sheriff in this country has to know, that taking money from drug dealers and other people who we arrest and prosecute, taking money from them and using it to supplement your departmental budget is wrong, immoral, and illegal.
And needs to stop, there's no question. And I'm not sure if David Clark would really disagree with you or if he's kind of like this.
He probably wouldn't.
I think he'd probably agree. Here, the issue kind of is this. Are we going to talk about white police officers killing black cops and make that a huge narrative? Or are we going to talk about the amount of black-on-black crime and the amount of babies murdered of all races, and we run around with this Black Lives Matter idea, but we're not going to talk about the abortion industry? I think what he's talking about is kind of proportions of discussion points or issues. I don't know that he thinks those things don't matter, but I think he's trying to focus more on this issue of, you got Obama, Eric Holder, and Al Sharpton primarily racist, race baiting for political purposes right now. And then, hey, If David Duke wanted to have a discussion about how to stop cops from forfeiture, Richard Mack wouldn't talk to him.
Yeah.
See what we've created? This is crazy talk. And what we've got to do is step back and say, wait a minute, I can disagree with anybody on anything, anytime, but it doesn't mean that I'm going to stop dialogue. What if I could convince David Duke on it? It's kind of like how the prostitutes started funding Ron Paul's campaign back in the day. And the mainstream press tried to come after Ron and say, by golly, you got a bunch of hookers funding you, Ron. And Ron's like, well, I disagree with them being hookers, and I know it's against the law, but if they want to stand for liberty, why would I stop them? We need to learn to get to that idea in America to where, look, let's focus on principle here. Okay? If somebody's a white supremacist, I stand against it. I don't believe that God put one race above another. You know what? We're all God's children created in his image, and he loves us as sons and daughters of God, and if we obey his commandments, he protects us. And if we don't, we have to suffer the consequences of our violations of his laws. Okay? So I can reject any white supremacist view. But that doesn't mean that I wouldn't go speak to them. I'll go speak at a black rally, a white rally, any rally, as long as I get to speak on an issue that I believe that I can provide education, provide greater understanding, provide clarity, provide solutions on. I'll go anywhere to any group. I don't care if it's a Yong Chung of Korea or whatever, or Dennis Rodman, or David Clark, or Ron Paul, or Barack Obama, or Al Sharpton, or David Duke. I don't care. If I have the chance to advocate for what is right and good and honorable, and I have the opportunity to politely, in the public dialogue, to influence people for good on any subject, I'm going to do it, sir.
Well, and I think
Sheriff Mack, make sure and take Sam with you.
Yeah, boy, I sure will.
I'll take any of these people on any day of the week, anytime, anywhere about this issue. You know, there's a big run from White History Month. And my response is, what's wrong with celebrating your European ancestry?
Yeah.
Nothing. Okay, I'll celebrate people who love coffee month. I hate coffee. I don't drink coffee. It's against my religion. But you know what? If you love coffee and you want to create a coffee bean museum and study the history of coffee, and have a great time. Right? Well, why are we running around backing diversity but yet being so racist, and we allow Barack Obama to meet with Al Sharpton on multiple occasions?
I would totally willingly speak to legalized marijuana groups. I would do it right now. I've never used marijuana illegally in my life.
Well, what happened if David Duke was in the audience? Then what would you do? You'd probably have to change your zip code, man.
Yeah, exactly.
See, and I'm convinced that this mainstream press has got us so afraid of our own shadows, Richard, that we've become ineffective. All they got to do is say, my goodness, David Duke just rolled up, man. I mean, you'd be like fleeing the building faster than Elvis. What are we doing, folks?
And there's no greater hate group in America, no more a dishonest group in America than the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Amen. And that's my point, is they've learned with their multimillion-dollar budget to force the narrative that we, as good, honest conservatives that should know better, fall for. Do you think God would have a conversation with David Duke?
Well, of course.
God would, but Sheriff Richard Mack wouldn't.
Yeah.
Would Sam Bushman? Absolutely. See, I'll have a conversation with anybody. Now, that does not mean that I endorse their views. And my point is, this congressman's running away from a speech that he gave to lower taxes 12 years ago. Now he's running around going, by golly, I shouldn't have ever done it. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What do you mean you shouldn't have done it? Could he speak to the Black Panthers? Would you have a meeting with the Black Panthers?
Yes, I would.
Oh, man. How about them? What's that group, that organizing group Barack was in, Kurt? Oh, what's that thing called?
Acorn.
Acorn. Would you meet with the Acorn people?
They're kind of nuts.
How about Acorn? How about Jeremiah Wright? Would you meet with the president's preacher?
Don't you think Acorns are nuts?
Yeah, I would go to Jeremiah Wright and ask him, hey, did you take the $150,000 that Barack Obama offered you to stay silent?
Great question. Now, here's the next deal. Jesse Lee Peterson, a very well-known black commentator, doubled down and backed David A. Clark Jr.'s comments and said that Al Sharpton's virtually an evil racist and it's got to stop, and David A. Clark Jr. is absolutely correct.
Well, Sheriff Clark is absolutely correct in that interview, and I've never heard a more appropriate, powerful interview in a long time. And it was obvious that CNN lady that is trying to interview him didn't want to hear what Sheriff Clark had to say about the honesty on the other side. and the fairness of bringing up the other problems. She didn't want to hear that at all. Shouldn't we talk about them at the same time? The problem is no one is talking about them at the same time.
David A. Clark Jr. and Richard Mack are.
Yeah. Yes, and the thing about Sheriff Clark is he has been attacked relentlessly by the liberal press in Milwaukee, and they've called him crazy. Listen to his interviews, and you want to call that articulate, eloquent speaker crazy?
And not only is it articulate and everything else, but it's very calm. It's backed with statistics. It's not full of rhetoric. It's full of absolute common sense.
And I've never heard a greater leader anywhere in the country on this issue, on these issues. And I don't care what issue Sheriff Clark brings up, he is absolutely a tremendous, eloquent, articulate speaker.
No question.
And he brings out such powerful points. You know, he really put this lady in her place. And
no question.
He didn't do it in a rude manner at all.
Hey, would you have a conversation with Mussolini and Hitler?
Mao
Zedong?
I'm not sure about the Hitler one. I don't know. The only thing I'd want to do with Hitler is shoot him.
If I could have a positive conversation with Hitler in an effort to try to change the narrative, I would have.
Yeah. Well, yeah, especially back then, of course, yeah.
Okay, now I realize after the fact, it's the point being, look, we need to be smart enough to deal with issues. We need to get rid of, as David Clark said, the hyperbole here. We need to deal with issues. I'm willing to advocate to anyone a correct stance. Anyone.
Yeah.
Why would I not?
Well, and seriously, if you could go in to a huge meeting, huge or small, but if you could talk to thousands of KKK members at the same time and trying to correct them in how they view other races, of course, shouldn't we try?
I without question, we should, and that's my whole point. And anybody who says different, in my opinion, is not really willing to focus on solutions.
Yeah.
I'll speak to the KKK tomorrow. Call me a racist, but I'll take you on that racist thing, and I'll slaughter you. I challenge CNN to have me on. I challenge Fox News to have me on. I will eat you people for lunch on this race discussion every time. And first off, I'll start out and ask what color you are before we start. And then I'll say
if
I have to
believe you.
If
you say you're going to eat them for lunch, then they're going to call you a cannibal. So
See, that's how man, you can just never win. All right, I'll take them to lunch and educate them. How's that? All right, thanks for being alongside for the ride. I think David A. Clark's comments were brilliant. I think we ought to back him 1,000%, Sheriff.
Absolutely. He's a great man. And here's to freedom in 2015.
Amen. CSPOA.org.